Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to On the Air, Empowered Communications with Dr. Pat Allen. You know the number, 323-203-0815. Once again, we're brought to you by the Want Institute. And Dr. Allen, you're on the air.
Thank God I'm on the air.
How are you?
I am just fine. I was just telling you, I'm going to a Brain CEU. I'm going to a Mary Magdalene lecture at the Jung Club. I'm going to go see Yakov Smirnoff at the Annenberg Theater in Los Angeles on Wednesday. I am working. I am alive and vibrant.
Two questions.
What?
What is the Mary Magdalene thing?
Well, the Mary Magdalene thing is about, was she his muse, Jesus' muse?
Mm-hmm.
Was she really a prostitute? Was she really a good or bad woman?
I think it's really interesting because, you know, Mary was one of the...
Which Marys?
Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was one of the Marys that Jesus cast demons out of.
Always, I understand that.
Always interesting to me. That's really crazy.
I want to see it. I love reading about her.
Me too.
Yes, she's a good bad girl.
She is a good bad girl.
And in reality, she was a very wealthy woman who basically paid for the troops around Jesus.
Yeah, very interesting. Very, very interesting. I kind of really love that. You're going to have to report back so I can hear about it.
I will report back.
So here's our first question of the night. Dr. Allen, I read your book, Getting to I Do, and I took the test that shows I'm more feminine than masculine. I'm easygoing and tend to be a doormat, which I'm working hard to assert myself with boundaries. The man that has been dating me texted me to come to his big, beautiful home at 8 p.m. today. I've done this a few times while he was sick. He was better this past Tuesday. I'm a little tired of staying inside and massaging him. Am I too masculine? If I wanted him to take me out. I guess she's saying, is she too masculine if she wants him to take her out? Also, he does not plan dates. He just gives me a day notice, then expects me to be available that same day. Am I being a doormat again? And what do I do to make him take me out again?
You can't, sir. Because by trying to do that is you're competing with his mail. He is offering you a deal in his mansion to take care of his rotten body, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah. But if he's worth it to you, if he brings you that element of intimacy, and I don't necessarily mean sexuality, you would do well to say, you know what? It's not 100%, but it's enough.
Right. And just another thing, like perhaps he just doesn't feel good enough yet to go out, even if he is doing better.
I'm telling you, you can accept him as he is, mm-hmm. reject him as he is, mm-hmm. but if you tolerate him, you have to be a doormat.
Okay, so
you have got to list all the things you appreciate about him that make him your main man. But for heaven's sake, feel free to date two other men to see if you can upgrade to a man that gives you what you want. Remember, I love that book, The Five Languages of Love.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to eat shrimp in a restaurant more than you need to be in his house rubbing his feet. But figure out whether the person in the restaurant is going to be as good to you sometime as the man whose feet you're rubbing.
Well, there you go, Facebooker. There's your answer. We've got a call. Let's grab it. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, hi. Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello there.
Well, I have a question. So you and I, we had a life script analysis this Tuesday.
Oh, very good.
And, you told me to go back here, too. And so during the life script analysis, we came to a conclusion that Since my father left when I was just 9, which is a very dangerous age.
Very dangerous. That age is, it's prepubescent, and it's when we are looking at how people behave. So when your father does not stay around, he dies or leaves or something, then it could be an imprint on your nervous system that might cause you to be anxious about men leaving you, which may cause you to act controlling or to push them away or do something drastic. So we are very subject. Dr. Penfield in the 40s did a big research project on orphans put on staircases in front of hospitals and things, and the effect on it. You can feed, water, house, and dress a child, but if you don't touch them and show them affection, they often do not make it. So at 9, a daddy leaving, who's supposed to be there to be a daddy, is a very potently dangerous thing for a girl to experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't exactly leave. My mom kicked him out, so she wanted a divorce.
Well, yeah, but the effect on you was
left.
Daddy left.
Mm-hmm.
The reason
yeah,
he
so
left...
Yeah, so my question is this.
What's
so
that?
I have been in this on-and-off relationship with a married man for several years.
You've been
and
a mistress.
He told me that it's due to that.
What?
So the question is, won't I be basically looking for my father in every man that I meet and like?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, until your mother threw your father out, he was her man, not yours. And so isn't
That's
it
true.
Interesting that you're comfortable being the third angle of a triangle, which in, wherein the man and the woman are married, and you are attempting to get your own strokes from that man?
Yeah, well, I'm not comfortable with that anymore.
Okay, so when do you plan on getting a man that's free to be your main man?
Well, after this Tuesday session, we decided that it's best for me to right now do it on month-to-month basis. So
very good.
At the beginning,
I love that. That sounds
yeah.
so Pat Allen. Doing it on a month-to-month gives you a plus-minus evaluation factor that you score up to tell you what your subconscious is feeling that month. Making promises for a long period of time. I have some people that do it week to week, day to day. Keep in touch with your subconscious. There's a wonderful book called Subliminal, my Malat. Now, let's see.
I bought it.
Did you read it?
I'm starting to read it now. I'm just finishing another book.
It's about the power of the subconscious mind. And now you see that your daddy being thrown out by your mother caused you to lose your daddy when you were not quite finished. And he's the man you're supposed to feel in love with, you know, and eventually go out and replace with a man you can actually be in love with, marry, have kids, and go on. But you're more comfortable being a mistress who is with a man who's already committed to another woman, your mother.
So why would that be, Dr. Allen?
Why?
What causes that? Just not that not
it's
finishing
the
at the
framework.
Age?
It's the same framework. It's the same framework. You know, the triangle is the unfinished square and the non-zero.
Right.
So what women often do is they go with men that are married to mothers or married to somebody else, and then they get to replicate that age period from 8 till 10 when they were supposed to basically be weaning away from daddy.
Right.
And going out in their teenage years and starting to look for somebody like daddy or not like daddy.
So that was just too abrupt right then, just like a snap.
Yeah, she lost the love of her life at that time.
So
she's used to being the third angle in the triangle.
Right, odd man out, right, okay. Makes sense.
Which is horrible. I never thought about it this way.
I know it. That's why you're talking
nauseated
to me.
Nauseated after our session.
Yeah, I imagine you were... I think I would feel the same way you did. I think I would be very shocked by that.
I was.
Yeah, but it happens.
Another thing, the things that I started to remember is Like, I always liked hanging out with couples. Not like liked, but I never had a problem. You know how some people feel like they're the third wheel? Mm-hmm. I never felt that way. I liked the energy because I never had it probably growing up.
Yeah. So you constantly like that third triangle. No, that third angle.
Yes. Yes,
well,
I do.
Do you ever?
In my just my regular life with my friends. Like, I have a lot of friends that are couples, and I have no problem just, you know, hanging out with the three of us. And they like it, too, for some reason. I don't know.
That's fine. Every man likes being around two women at a time. That's a fantasy.
Well, but do you think that this fix will end once I end it with this man?
I think it will end as soon as you have your own man.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So are you hunting for Mr. Right?
I am, yes. I will look
You're flirting 5 minutes a day. You're flirting 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. Is that correct?
Probably less than 5 minutes a day.
Well, then you're not hunting.
I'll take it up a notch, definitely.
And?
I had another... I flirt, and then with men that I don't care about, it's easy.
Wait
but
a
then
minute.
If I
why
like someone,
why is it you don't care about them?
Well, not like, you know, somebody I see in an elevator and I look at them and I smile. If they're not, you know, cute enough for me or something, they're
so
then
you
it's easy,
pick them. Look at that. You pick them with your eyes, and the eyes are the way a man does. Do you realize that when your daddy was thrown out of the house, that you went into loneliness to the extent that you decided, I can't find a man, so I'm going to pick a man from my male, which is eyes. Women pick with ears. He wants to give to me. He's nice to me. He protects me. He's going to give me status. He's going to give me babies. He's going to marry me. But what you do mm-hmm. is you look at them as sex objects, which is you going into pubescence because you lost your daddy when you were 9 years old. That's called
You're
the
right.
unresolved
I'm a recovering boy
Oedipal
as well.
Electra complex by Freud. Freud believed everything had to do with mothers to sons and fathers to daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Erik Erikson came along and expanded the development into other reasons for being alive than sex. But Freud mm-hmm. really liked to blame everything on sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So how about you pick a man that has already picked you and speaks to you in ways that feel giving, protecting, and cherishing.
Mm-hmm. I will do that. I also had a recurring dream during my childhood.
I understand that, but I want to find out if we have anyone else, anybody else on the phone?
No, we have some call. We have some notes here from other people on Facebook.
I just want to be careful to distribute this 1 hour of time.
You know what? You're clear right now, so you can go ahead if you want to.
Okay, here we go. Give me your dream.
Perfect. So it was always the same. I go into a subway meaning metro underground in St. Petersburg. It's very deep because we have a lot of water. And every time I go down into the subway,
yes.
I always die there.
You die there?
Oh, every single time. I have never seen a dream about a subway where I didn't die. And I go down and I die there. And it stopped, all that dream stopped when I moved to the United States.
When you what?
When she moved to the USA.
When I moved to the United States at the age of 15 and a half.
Where did your dad get thrown out of your life?
When?
Where?
Oh, where? In St. Petersburg. We were all in St. Petersburg.
In Russia.
Russia,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, a subway, if you think of structure, the addict is the brain, the body is the adult. That's what does the job. And the subway is your id, the seething
uh-huh.
cauldron of libidinal urges. And when
uh-huh.
you're in the subway, that had to be built very deep because it was water covered, water being uh-huh. amniotic fluid, sexuality, sensuousness. The subway is you're where you live and you die. Do you understand that this is another dream that says that when you lost your daddy, see, fathers pay bills. Daddies
mm-hmm.
cherish daughters. So with that in mind, this is another way for me to hear you say it was very impacting on my subconscious to lose my daddy by a woman throwing him out in my life.
We got to move on. Thanks, caller.
Thank you for calling.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do have a question.
Great.
I'm in the process of, I got out of a relationship, and I'm just trying to figure out kind of what happened.
Well, what happened?
Don't get into that situation again. Oh, well, I knew him for about 3 years. For two, I didn't give him the time of day. And then the third year, he called
me,
and I was
kind
of vulnerable, thought I was moving.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry?
Did you pick him with your eyes or ears?
Well, the first 2 years, it was definitely with my ears. That's why I didn't
because he would give to you, he would take care of you?
No, he just would try to date me, and I just, there was something about him, I could tell he was relationship averse, so I stayed away, and he didn't really want to be friends, so he would leave and come back kind of.
So he had chemistry for you. Did you develop chemistry for him?
I did.
Okay,
I did.
So he eventually, grew on you.
The third time around, I picked him, but I picked him with my eyes because I was planning on moving out of state. I was comfortable with him. I hadn't been sexually active in 2 years. And so
wait a minute.
I went into it.
Was he a nice man or a pretty man?
He's a pretty man, very pretty.
He was a pretty man. Okay. Did
very
you
pretty.
Chase him or did he chase you?
He chased me.
Okay, so he was
definitely
a combination of chasing and pretty, and he finally got into your body. Is that correct?
Yes, but that's because it was a very casual thing. I was moving, like I said, out of state. I wasn't expecting anything. You know, it was just like I hadn't
been. Honey, for a woman to have
intercourse
with a man is not casual. We bond when we're young. They bond when they're old. How old was he compared to you?
He's only a year older than me.
All right, so he's the same age. Well, I've got news for you. You allowed him to court you. You allowed him to bond you to him. So what's the problem?
Well, the problem was I decided not to move because my job wouldn't let me take my job with me when I moved. And I was surprised he stuck around. He was very good. He would meet my family,
so
take
are
me
you,
out.
Does that mean you're a career woman?
No, I'm a woman with a career. I'm not a career woman.
But you didn't go with him out of town.
He didn't want to go with me.
What?
There was no job prospect.
Oh, there was no job prospect. Okay. So you stayed
where
you were.
No, it wasn't about, like, I just decided.
Why did you get rid of him?
I got rid of him because, obviously, once I decided to stay, things changed. We
in
still
what
had
way?
Our relationship. But when I confronted him, you know, saying, listen, you know, now things have changed a bit, and I want marriage, and I want children, and I want these kinds of things.
And what did he say?
He said to me, I don't want that. He was like, I, you know,
he didn't want the responsibility. All right, so you terminated him.
Eventually.
Well,
yes,
I understand.
I
it may
him.
Have taken you a while,
right.
But you eventually terminated him. Why are you asking me a question? What's the problem? You got rid of him.
Well, because I'm trying to figure out. I was very heartbroken that I had to do it. I didn't
You didn't
want
have to.
To
do it. You didn't
and
have to do it.
I'm sorry?
Look, you let him court you. You let him into your body. You bonded to him, right? Why couldn't you leave it that way? Why did you have to get married?
Because I want to get married. I want more than just that. You know,
well,
I hadn't met his family. He met my family. He
understand.
Was, you know, very noncommittal.
But you have said on this call that he was simply a casual boyfriend. You really didn't think he was valuable enough to marry.
But as I got to know him more, I did feel he was.
Well, I've got news for you. You paid for the problem of holding him away. So you lost him because you didn't buy it when it was on the table.
I'm sorry?
You lost him. You left him, you lost him, and then you realized that he was more valuable than you thought.
Well, Well, I guess what I'm trying to ask you is, I'm trying to figure out, I don't know if he was a Peter Pan type, because I do feel like I tend to be very drawn to men who will be with me to a certain extent, but then don't want to go all the way.
So you're a norepinephrine addict. You're a negative pain addict.
Maybe.
You produce the norepinephrine of, I don't want pleasure. I don't want it easy. I want it hard and painful. That's how I've been raised. So what I'm hearing is, I don't think I would have intercourse with anybody unless I had an engagement ring on my finger.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like I said, prior to him, it had been 2 years, and that was...
Okay.
2 years before, I was with someone
so
I was in a relationship with.
If you find somebody that is a friend to you and that you're with them sexually, please don't get rid of them, because what you're doing is you're wanting the drama of pain. That's a pain
addiction.
But he
didn't want the same things I wanted. He told me that straight out.
I thought men were the...
I don't want marriage. I don't want kids.
I understand that. But he wanted... How many years were you with him?
Oh, I wasn't. I was with him. I knew him for 3 years, but I was only with him for about like 8 or 9 months.
Okay. What I'm hearing is, don't have sex with people, please. Casual sex. If you want to have casual sex with somebody, pay him for it.
I guess. I don't know. I'm very confused about what type of person he was, because he could be with my family, play
May
the
I,
role.
I recommend you that know. You call me back and ask me questions. We could spend the rest of this show on you. Well, what I want you to do is not have casual sex with men you don't appreciate, because after they're gone, you appreciate them.
And read Getting to I Do, because it'll kind of help.
Yes.
I
read it.
Yeah, okay.
3 times already. I've read it.
Call again. Call again with some more questions.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, a couple of callers. We missed your calls. Call on back if you get the chance. And what I'm going to tell you right now, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we have a really great dream class starting. It's starting June 18th. It's 4 Saturdays. And I have a call coming in, but it's going to be June, July, August, September at the Marriott Long Beach near the airport. Hey, caller, you're on the air. You have a question.
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hello.
Hi there. About, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 months ago, you mentioned something about a cancer personality.
Oh, yes.
Female.
Oh, yes.
Right. So my
you know what
friend,
it is? Overgiving.
Yeah, you said something like...
Overgiving women and undergiving men. Men are built to give, protect, and cherish. And when they don't, they have to use energy, which drains, to stop themselves. I know she wants me to take her out. Well, I'm not going to do it. I know she wants to get engaged. Well, I don't want to do it. There's a wonderful book by Scott Wetzler called Living with a Passive-Aggressive Man. They won't give us what we want and need, and the cost of that is their energy turns against them, and it hits them right where it hurts. Usually, just as women get belted in the boobs, men get belted in the balls.
Right. And you said something, and I'm not going to say it word for word, but...
I'll say it.
You said... You know, if I get to a patient or someone before they're diagnosed or before they're...
Oh, yeah.
They go to...
No, no,
whatever,
no.
If I can
what
get
I'm
to
saying
them,
is, if I get in, if I get with them, in my family, we have the NEH2 gene, which is progesterone-oriented. We are very susceptible to cancer. And so
right.
I studied with O. Carl Simington. And he was the man that wrote Getting Well Again. And part of that training is that you have got to take care of yourself, especially if you have a predisposition, as my family does. We've had 6 cancers in myself and my 4 daughters. And we are still alive and functioning just fine, because I know that overgiving women and undergiving men don't use their energy correctly, and their bodies right. pay for it. So if I can get in before they enjoy their cancer and the tension they get, that's usually right. within 90 days, I have a great deal of success in helping people change the psychological way of being that supports. The cancer personality is an overgiving woman and an undergiving man.
Right, in the relationship that she's
yes.
with. Yeah.
So have you been diagnosed with cancer?
No, but my best friend that I've, my childhood friend since we were 12 years old, is near the end. She's 41, she has three kids, and she's
okay.
the healthiest person.
Now, answer the question. Is she an overgiving woman or not?
Yes, she is.
Well,
very much so. Yes.
There's a wonderful book by Gabor yeah. Maté, When the Body Says No. It's a book mm-hmm. about yeah. this kind of issue. Gabor, G-A-B-O-R, Maté, M-A-T-E, with an umlaut. And it's directly devoted especially to females. When you don't pay, if the mind doesn't know and the mouth can't talk about it, the body's going to demonstrate it. And that's what I learned from O. Carl Symington. And recently, in the last few years, Gabor Maté really impressed me with his book, When the Body Says No. Okay?
Thank you. I'll get that book. Thank you so much.
Good.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Okay, so I was saying, you have a dream class starting, and it's pretty exciting. So June 18th is when it starts. It's 4 months, one Saturday a month, June, July, August, September, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Long Beach Marriott, and it's $400 for this class. You can go to the website to register or to find out more information, and that would be www.drpatallen.com. That's drpatallen.com. And you could probably find all kinds of really wonderful information there. So I'm going to take this call and we'll move on. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do have a question, and thank you so much for taking my call. I've got a newly sober partner, and I am having some serious issues. I am in a 12-step fellowship, and is super, it's just, I don't know how to deal with the kind of vacancy. It's clearly, you know, not super easy once somebody stops with the drinking. But now I don't know how to communicate with my husband because he's kind of like, I don't know, just kind of, you know, waking up from a coma, if you will.
That's exactly right. Remember, when men use, the first thing that happens, and I evaluate this by giving, I work for Hotel California by the Sea, and it's predominantly young people with like 10 days sober, 15 days sober. The first effect of drinking is a personality change. And the effect of sobering up is a personality change. And I do it by doing the Myers-Briggs sober temperament evaluation. And you can read about that in the book, Please Understand Me, by Marilyn Bates and David Kiersey, who are my instructors at Cal State Fullerton. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that when a woman, female, who's on estrogen, who's a woman, when she uses mind-altering chemicals, she changes from a feminine, feeling-centered, want-to-feel-comfortable to a doing good or doing control or doing competition, masculine woman. And when she sobers up, she goes from being a competitive masculine woman back to the feminine sensitive. And that same thing happens when a man uses mind-altering chemicals. He is going into his feminine. He's going into his gimme, 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 receptive, available
yeah.
to. He's going into his little wussy little boy. When he sobers up, he goes into his, I'm a man, and I want what I want, and I want it the way I want it, and hope to God he's with somebody that knows my stuff. Then he says, how do you feel about it? If he doesn't have my stuff, he just orders people around. So is that true for you and your husband?
Actually, no, it's not.
Okay, what is true for you and your husband?
What he's doing is he's trying to kind of make it up to us.
How's he making it up?
Well, he's cooking, he's cleaning, he's...
Wait a minute, that's giving.
Yeah, okay. So
he's giving, protecting, and cherishing. Is he being appreciated for that?
According to my friends who know your work, no, he is not. So I would like to appreciate him.
Well, then you better thank him, and you better appreciate him, or he will stop.
He's doing his best. I just noticed that I tend to be, in my opinion, an overgiver. And
may I recommend Al-Anon for you?
Yes, I'm in it. But I haven't been giving at all in this scenario. Because I'm so scared of overgiving, so I'm not giving anything.
I understand that, but have you appreciated him for giving to you? Because in giving back to him, you're being feminine.
Aha, yes, I have. I told him I love the flowers. I love the dinner.
And on a ratio of 2 to 1, he takes you out or he brings home flowers once. Do you do something for him? 2 to 1 ratio. That's what I like.
Right.
Do you give to him?
That brings me to my next thing. We haven't been anywhere in what feels like ages, and I want to go somewhere, and I don't want to come from wanting, but I really want to start spending time.
Then how about you do, does he like basketball games, or does he like hockey games? Does he like to go bowling?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then what about a free trip to the bowling alley with you?
I could try that. When he wasn't sober, sometimes I got the sense that he was looking at other females, and I didn't like it. So
I got
now
news
I've got
for you.
Thing, like, what's that?
We're talking about rewarding him with treats that are not yours. You don't wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh, goody, I get to go bowl.
Right. Right.
But he does. And when you plan an event that is particularly designed for his pleasure, after he's cooked and done whatever he's done to make up to you for being your little boy for a while, now he's giving to you, protecting you and cherishing you with those wonderful gifts of cooking or whatever he's giving you.
Right. And I hear you, and I absolutely agree. He tends to give that much more to our little one, and that's where I'm like, I kind of feel, you know, I guess this is what it is for now. And
what?
Well, he'll like plan major events for our little one who, you know.
You have how many kids? How many kids?
One.
One little one, how little?
Well, he's 7.
7 is not little.
Okay, I call him my little, he's 7.
Okay, are you jealous of your son's ability to attract gifts and giving from your husband?
No, I love it. There seems to be a switch that went off, because he used to do that for me, then all of a sudden it was like, no more for you and only for him.
Is he not giving to you?
Well, he's now starting to give to me, but, you know, we don't spend time, but he's starting to give, like, flowers.
Then how about once a week you sit down and plan out a week, and sometime in that week plan a date for the two of you that would please you?
That sounds great. I'm uncomfortable and nervous because before, it didn't go over very well. So,
he doesn't like to date you once a week?
Well, before when the drinking was happening.
No, no.
No, he just...
That's when he wants mommy to stay home and play with him.
Yeah. Okay.
When he's sober, he may want to please you by doing something you planned.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Give him a free coupon for one experience that you will create and make a list of the things you think he might like. Let him pick one.
Great idea.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, you're having a personality change. He's going male and you're going female. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you so much. I'm going to call again.
Great.
Do it.
Let us know.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
For those of you that are listening to me, I'm a certified transactional analyst. I'm a marriage, family, child therapist. I'm a certified addiction specialist, McLean Hospital on Harvard's campus, in alcoholism and sexual addiction. So I definitely want to answer questions in those realms of being. So call.
All right. We've got a call coming in. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Thank you.
With your radio.
You'll have to turn your radio down.
Am I on? Or?
You're on.
Yes, you're on.
So is the radio.
You'll have to turn your radio down.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My daughter is 16.
Yes.
And I worry about her because she doesn't seem to have a lot of friends, and I want to be a nurturing parent instead of a critical parent. And my 18-year-old has lots of friends.
Do you have an 18-year-old girl or boy? Are they two girls?
They are two girls, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they have different temperaments.
Yes, they do.
Okay. But temperament is a natural state of a being, so... Does your daughter, the younger one, want? You know, between the ages of 13 and 18, teenagers do not produce enough dopamine to be happy and excited. So they very often get out of the house. There's a book called Brainstorms, and by Dan Siegel, who's a wonderful brain man. Anyway, it's a fairly new book. You might want to read it. But I'm hearing that one of your daughters has a temperament that is not what you think is normal or healthy. The other one has one that you like better. But the truth of the matter is, all you need to do is to sit your daughter down, the younger one, and say, is there anything I can do to help you socialize? Do you feel good? Do you want a slumber party? Do you want... And if she says, no, Mom, I'm fine. Have you already offered to help her be like her older sister?
Yes, I have.
And what did she answer you?
The other night we got home from vacation, and she didn't seem happy, and I said, you just don't seem happy. How can I help you? She says, Mom, I'm fine, and I just need to let her go and be herself, I think.
Yes,
and
you do. Does she have any bad... Is she overeating? Is she undereating?
Is she
picking her face, pulling
out
her hair?
She's healthy. She's a beautiful girl. She's healthy. No, she's not. She doesn't overeat, or she's not overweight. My ex-husband and I just worry about her because we feel like she doesn't have a lot of friends like the older one had.
You only need one.
Right, but sometimes she doesn't even have one. Sometimes, but tonight she is out with somebody, so we were relieved.
Good.
You know, like, okay, she's going out with somebody tonight. So
why don't you do the following? Get the book, Please Understand Me, by Marilyn Bates and David Kiersey. In there is the Myers-Briggs test, well-respected in our culture, for evaluating temperaments. And the test is in the book, and the scoring is in the book, and then it lists the 16 different temperament styles, and you read and identify. How about everybody in the family doing the temperament test?
That's a great idea. Thank you. It won't just point her out.
No,
we
it
have a
won't.
Company, my
it's fun.
And I, and
it's
we,
it's questions
for the employees, and the kids can do it.
Absolutely. And it gives a very clean, simple, and as far as I can see, well-respected evaluation of those 16 temperaments. And you might see that the characteristics described or her or you or your oldest daughter. Do you see?
Yes, that's excellent.
And for the sake of the audience, I'm going to give another one. When Marilyn Bates died, David Kiersey wrote a book, Please Understand Me, Too. And it's one for At the Office. It goes into more depth about the subtle differences. But the one for the kids, teenagers, and your family would be Please Understand Me, Book One. But the one that's more expansive and fits the office situations and the social situations is Please Understand Me, Too.
Got it.
By David Kiersey.
Thank you. I've been listening to your calls. I've been calling in for the last couple of months, and the daughter, my daughter is my last vestige. So it's just like, then you're going to sew it all up for us. So you're going to get us all healthier.
Okay. That's good.
We love that. Call back again and let us know.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Welcome.
Bye-bye. Okay. So what we have here is another question that just came popping in, and she says, my ex was a methamphetamine, I was thinking about making him my ex. He's a methamphetamine addict, and I feel like his use of methamphetamine was like he had a mistress, but not just a mistress, like a dirty whore of a mistress. I feel betrayed. I feel used. I feel dirty. I feel like he threw everything that we had away, our family, our children. We even lost our house.
Well,
she said, I love him. I want to punish him.
Love is accepting him. Liking is approval. Punishing is judging.
Right.
There are two forms of addiction. One is genetic. I'm a genetic alcoholic. I'm sober 44 years. There are psychological alcoholics. In the big book of AA, it talks about some are more grievously ill than others.
Okay.
And the grievously ill people are people whose 5-HTT gene doesn't work properly to release serotonin.
Okay.
The books on this, there are two books with the same title, different authors. One is Rudin's book, The Craving Brain.
Okay.
And the other one is by, I think, a Dr. Anderson, and it's called The Craving Brain.
Okay.
But Rudin's book was written in 2008, and the other book was written in 2011.
Okay.
And I'm sure that they fit together. But here's what I want to say. Addictions, chemical addictions, are genetic. I'm genetic, or they're psychological.
Right.
Now, in psychological addictions, you've been raised to be perfect, try harder, hurry up, please others, and be strong.
Right.
If you've been raised that way, it drives you nuts, and you use mind-altering chemicals to feel better. But that is not as bad as the craving created by having your serotonin shorted out by not being released enough in your body.
Okay.
And so that causes you to crave carbohydrates. And alcoholism is a carbohydrate addiction.
Right.
But it leads to meth. It leads to cocaine because those upgrade the feel-good systems.
In other words, they have to escalate to get that same high.
Yeah, they've got to take heavier-duty stuff, and they've got to do worser things. And meth is absolutely the most horrible, addictive, cheap drug.
Yeah.
Which is a horrible combination.
Yeah, she kind of really said it, how she felt. I think that I sort of see how she must feel. Where she said she feels like he had a mistress that was a filthy prostitute.
I'm guaranteeing that's the case. I would really like her to start with reading Dr. Rudin's book and pointing it out to him,
right?
Because he may be absolutely incapable of not drinking until he knows this information.
Right. Well, what she says is he's in a program.
Oh, he is.
Yeah. She says he's in a recovery program.
Ooh, that good.
I still feel betrayed. I still feel just like crapped on.
I got news for you. Would you say that if you had an epileptic? Would you say that if you had a diabetic?
Right,
because
exactly.
Because when you're genetic, I started drinking my dad's booze when I was 5 years old.
Right.
And I didn't stop till I was 35, and I'm 44 years sober now, and two out of four of my children.
Congratulations, by the way, that's amazing.
Yep. Two out of four of my children are genetic. My sister's genetic.
Uh-huh.
She had a daughter die recent, you know, in the last few years,
uh-huh,
because she was a religious, absolute fanatic. She was going to not be like the rest of us drunks.
Uh-huh, right.
So she chose church, religion. But she went menopausal. And then she went to a psychiatrist, mm-hmm, and he put her on Ambien. And she blacked out, started drinking and screwing strangers.
Wow.
And ended up drowning herself.
Oh.
And her sister found her in the pool.
Tragic.
Yes.
I have heard that Ambien has some really insane
side effects. It's
a
disassociation thing.
Right.
It's almost a black box forbidden fruit.
That's just unpleasant. Well, he's apparently seeking help, and she wants to know.
And that's wonderful.
And she wants to know how she can work past this feeling. Would you suggest she would go to
Al-Anon
or
Drug-Anon.
Narcanon.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a call coming in, and we're going to take it real quick because
yes,
we're almost out of time.
Okay, here we go.
Hello, caller. We're almost out of time. Do you have a question?
Yeah, just a quick question on how to deal with an alpha male who's probably going female in his 50s.
What did she say?
She wants to know how, I'm sorry, dear, you said an alpha male that's
yeah, alpha
probably
male,
going
which
female.
Means he's bright
he's
and
in his
sensitive.
50s. He's just going into his 50s.
He's going 45 to 55 is when they go.
Right.
The testosterone is going down, and the estrogen in his body from birth is starting to impact him.
Mm-hmm.
Mature men need to be respected and cherished.
Right.
Mature women, 45 to 50. Pre-menopausal women are on estrogen.
Right.
Post-menopausal women are on progesterone, testosterone. Pre-andropause men are on testosterone. Post-andropause men are going on estrogen.
So when you say deal with him, what exactly do you mean?
Well, I opened my yang mouth.
Oh, well.
More I apologize, the angrier he got.
You know why? Because
I just
he feels so ashamed. You have no idea to know what it's like to do things that you know are bad, and then you lie about doing them, and then you swear you're never going to do them again. But if you're genetically disabled, you got to do them again until you find out you're genetic.
He felt ashamed?
He felt ashamed and judged. He felt bad within himself. When you apologize, he had to fight and say, no, 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 it's not you, it's me.
No, he got angry with me and said, I'm deleting your contact information.
Oh, I see. So he got mad at you trying to inform him about what you're learning.
Yes.
Okay, well then he's called unteachable. And you can't do anything for unteachable people. The most wonderful sermon I heard was with my Protestant minister boyfriend. We went to a Protestant minister's lecture, and he said, don't pray for unteachable people. They're in hell now.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Thanks, caller.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dr. Allen, we're almost out of time. What
okay.
have you got to say to me tonight?
Well, I'm going to say the same thing. The only way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I want that I don't have? Yang, yang, yang. What do I have that I don't want? Yin, yin, yin. Followed by action or inaction as soon as possible.
Excellent. Don't forget about that new class, the Dream Class, and that's www.drpatallen.com. 4 months starting in June, starting June 18th. It's in the Long Beach Marriott. So go there to the website, check it out. Follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.